Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us here this evening. It's July the 30th, 2023, and we're here every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on New Visions Radio.
Actually, we're back after a couple of weeks being off.
Ed went out and visited some of his two of his boys, right? Yeah. You have two sons, and you went out to visit them out west.
Yes.
So how was your trip, Ed?
It was great.
Beautiful
places out there.
Yeah.
Good to see my kids again, my granddaughter. It was nice.
That's right. You're a grandpa.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Ed came back, and he's got a beard now. He looks like a professor, Dr.
Well,
Ed.
I did a carry-on bag, so they won't let you take only so much liquid.
Right.
Shaving cream's considered liquid, and so I thought, well, I just won't take any.
Boy, the world is a different place, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so much different than it was 20 or 30 years ago.
Right.
You know, that's why we're here. This is what this ministry is about, prophecies of hope, talking about the hope that we have in an ever-changing world that's not consistent.
But Jesus is.
Amen. Jesus is consistent. God's word is consistent.
Yes.
And so just first of all, we want to begin by thanking Ray Powers for all of his hard work. And, you know, even though we weren't here in the studio last week, he broadcast a program. And the week before, I did a program, Ed. I came in and did it and just put on a sermon. You were gone for 2 weeks. And I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. Now, you told me just briefly about this new fruit or food that you tried.
Maybe people already know about it. I just didn't know about it. It's called acai bowl. They have different names for it. It's the palm fruit. That's kind of a frozen smoothie type thing, and you put like sliced bananas, strawberries, walnuts, whatever you want on top of it, and mix it in. It's really, really, really good.
It sounds really healthy.
Yeah, it is.
You know, that's part of ministry, isn't it? Is our health.
Right.
The health message, and we've talked about that a number of times. So all natural things are always better than these chemicals that people are putting in foods today. So, but Ed, tell us a little bit about the Prophecies of Hope ministry, would you?
Well, we're located in Stanton, Virginia on 1743 West Beverly Street.
Yeah.
And we have a Bible study on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., and it's available via Zoom if you're interested. And we also have, right now, a sanctuary study on Monday nights, which is also available via Zoom. And on Saturday, or Sabbath, we have our church service. We have a Bible study at 9:30, which is streamed live, and is also available via Zoom. And we have a worship hour at 11 a.m., which is streamed live.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that you'll notice is, most of the time, Sabbath school is taught by Ed. Ed does that. The Monday night study is taught by Rick. He's the one that leads that. And Wednesdays, typically, I will lead that. So each one of us has a little bit different way of teaching.
Right.
But it gives people different avenues and different ways of learning, because no two people learn the same way.
Right. Yeah.
And it's really nice to have that variety. Also, we want to remind everybody that, you know, every year, if you've kept up with this ministry, we have a Bible prophecy series in the fall, and we're going to do that this year, September of 2023. That'll be September 20th through the 23rd.
Right.
Also, we have a website, prophecyhope.com, and on that website, you'll find a lot of sermons archived. You'll find the radio programs archived, and also, if they want to contact you, Ed, how do they do that?
You can contact me, ed@prophecyhope.com.
ed@prophecyhope.com, that's right. And you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. And I think, go ahead, you were going to say something?
I always feel weird saying that. Reach me at.
Ed at.
So it just sounds weird.
It is kind of different, isn't it? So is that all the business we have to take care of today?
I think so,
just letting people know about the ministry and what we do. And we've been in the book of Romans, right? So before we get started, we always like to have a blessing on the study. Would you pray for us?
Sure.
Please?
Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're grateful for this time we can come together, open your word, and discover more about the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the hope that we have in this life that we now live. Mm-hmm. We humbly ask for wisdom and knowledge as we study these words, and for guidance by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, a couple of weeks ago, We had read just the first few verses of chapter 8 of Romans. That's where we stopped.
Right.
And can you just give us a little review of chapter 7, and then we'll begin in 8. And I'd like to read that. You closed with a scripture in Philippians. I'd like to go back there, too, just to kind of bring us up to speed, because 2 weeks is a long time.
Right. So I'm going to back up a little bit farther than chapter 7,
sure,
because we've been talking about the gospel. And a lot of people, perception of what the gospel is Christ's death on the cross, which is an extremely important part. There's no salvation without that. That's how we're justified. That's how we're reconciled to God by his death on the cross. And that's what Romans 5:10 says. But it also says that we're reconciled by the death of his son. How much more are we saved by his life? And that's what we've been talking about in Romans 6, 7, and 8. Romans 6 says how when we are baptized into Christ's death, we die to sin. We die to that old way of living that calls the old man. And we are risen up out of that baptism into a new life in Jesus Christ. And it's talking about doing away with sin in our lives and being a slave or servant to righteousness through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so last week we talked about, come on, get real about this. Get real about your experience living in this world. How can anybody do that? And Paul in chapter 7 is real about life. He says, I know that the law of God is righteous, it's holy, it's good, and I want to do those things. But what happens is I do the things that I don't want to do because of this law of sin that dwells within me. But then the answer to this dilemma, to this solution to this dilemma, is found in Romans chapter 8. And why don't we go ahead and read a few verses out of that? Maybe the first four verses.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you want to read that, or you want me to read?
Why don't you read that?
All right. So I'm reading from the New King James Bible here, Romans chapter 8, 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
So in the end of Romans chapter 7, Paul says, what am I to do? How am I going to overcome this? And here's the answer. It says, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, that old way of living, that old man of sin, but according to the Spirit. Verse 2 says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That law of sin that Paul says dwells within him, that doesn't allow him to do the things that he wants to do, that he knows right, but instead he does the things that he doesn't want to do. So here we have another law. A law that is in us through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Who dwells in Christ?
The Father dwells in Christ.
Yes, according to John 14, Jesus says, my Father dwells in me. So the law, his law, is now put in our hearts and minds, which is the new covenant.
Yes.
And so through this, in Romans 4, says, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's mean it's accomplished in us. We start having the fruits of the Spirit.
Yes.
Against which there's no law of against doing those things. You know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, meekness.
Faithfulness.
Yes.
Mildness, self-control, right?
Yeah. So all these things can be accomplished in us through the Son of God, because God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So I want to read Romans 8:3 in the Good News Bible. I'm going to read a modern King version first.
Okay.
It says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh.
Okay.
We couldn't obey God's law, the Ten Commandments, because of the weakness in our flesh, because of this inherited tendency to sin from Adam.
We inherited that.
But God sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh. So this is what the Good News version of the Bible says. What the law could not do because human nature was weak, God did. He condemned sin in human nature by sending his own son, who came with a nature like our sinful nature, to do away with sin.
Hmm.
He overcame sin. Jesus overcame sin in our nature, something that we couldn't do, something that Christ did because of his faith and trust in his Father. He was obedient to his Father. He spoke the words that his Father gave him to speak. He performed the miracles that he performed through the Spirit of his Father living in him.
Yes. So what Jesus did by coming here in the way that we are, with the tendencies that we have, and by not sinning because of his dependence on the Father, shows that if we, and that's a big if we rely on the Father the way he did, we can overcome. But now we can have the Spirit of Christ that dwells in us that helps us to overcome.
He knows how to do it because he accomplished it. He was the captain of our salvation, according to Hebrews chapter 2, who was perfected through his sufferings, through his experience on this earth. He was perfected for this role to rescue us from sin in this life that we live now.
Yeah, you know, nobody... you know, Ed, you're a physical therapist, and if you have a boss or a captain that hasn't done the job that you're doing, they don't understand completely what you have to endure, what you have to do, what part of your job is. But because Jesus came and did this job, he did what we live the life that we have to live, but he overcame.
There's no one else in the universe that has done this that can be our helper in our time of need. He's our comforter. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor.
Amen.
You know, he's all these things to us.
And we're going to see that in Romans 8 more and more as we go through, aren't
we? Yes, we will.
And so really, look, we've talked about this a lot in this ministry, and that is so many people believe they understand God the Father. They know who the Father is. They say they know who Jesus Christ is, the Son of God. But then they add this third being.
Yes.
And what we find is that there are only two divine beings, the Father and his Son. And it's the Spirit of Christ that can live in our hearts. And that's what this is telling us here in Romans.
And we'll see here in just a minute that it's through having the Spirit of Christ we can have the Spirit of God, his Father, Jehovah, Yahweh, whatever name you want to use, dwell in us.
Amen. Amen. So now
this is the function and the purpose of the gospel. Not only his death on the cross, but now we're receiving the Spirit of Christ and his Father to give us victory in this life we live now.
Yes.
Victory over sin.
Because, go ahead.
To set us free from sin.
Amen. So when we, as we read through these accounts too, in the book of Acts, it tells us that God's Spirit was poured out, that Christ was glorified, and the Spirit of his Son now can dwell in us in a way that it never could before.
Right. Well, Jesus before didn't have the experience as a human being.
Right.
Now he has that experience and can help us in our time of need.
Yeah. So what better intercessor could we have?
There is none.
There is none.
No.
There is none. So for someone to say that someone else, it's another spirit, This is not biblical at all. It's the Spirit of Christ. That's what helps us to overcome.
Right. You know, and continuing our theme about being real about our experience in life, in the world that we live in the devil being, knowing his time is short, going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour, he is very active in people's lives, trying to discourage you, trying to keep you in sin and keep you separated from Christ.
He doesn't want people to know this message.
No.
And what he wants to do is he wants to cause us to think that, well, I can't do it. There's no way to do it. Well, I can't by myself.
No, there's no way.
But through the gospel, we can.
Right.
And that's what Paul understood.
Right.
And that's what he's explaining.
And he's also real about life and his experience and his experience not only with the temptations of this world, but the devil, you know, trying to get him to sin, trying to get him to be separated from Christ.
Yeah, he had the same tendencies and things. Paul tells, you know, I want to do, my body wants to do what's wrong, but I know it's not.
He's just as human
right.
as you and I. Yeah,
exactly.
So let's go to those texts you wanted to look at in Philippians chapter 3.
Okay, sure.
And I'm going to be reading verses 8 through 14.
Okay.
This is the Modern King James Version again. But no, rather, I also count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them to be dung, so that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but through the faith of Jesus, through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I am pressing on, if I may lay hold of that for which I was also taken hold of by Christ Jesus. My brothers, I do not count myself as to have taken possession, but one thing I do, forgetting the things behind, reaching forward to the things before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's continuing to live his life towards that goal of eternal life because of the righteousness of the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
Yes, and he recognizes the need for Jesus.
Right.
He recognizes that.
We cannot be saved by our own, quote, righteousness.
Mm.
It's only the righteousness of Christ that he readily gives to all who will come to him. The Bible, Jesus says in the Bible, anyone that comes to me, in no way will I cast out.
Mm.
It doesn't matter your condition.
Right.
It doesn't matter the state of your heart and mind. If you see your need of Christ and desire for a change in life, desire to have victory over these things in your heart and mind that you know aren't right.
Yeah.
You wish for a change in life. Come to Christ. He will do that for you.
And please, try to get it out of your mind. So many of us have this thought of, well, you know, I can't because I'm broken. That's when you need to.
That's why Jesus came.
That's right. We're all broken.
Yes. We all need to be born again.
Yes, we do.
Into a new life in him.
Yes. So where does that take us? Back to Romans chapter 8?
Yes, go back to Romans chapter 8.
All right.
And if you could continue to actually just read 1 through 11 again.
Okay. Yeah, that way it kind of lays it down again, right. Doesn't it? Romans chapter 8, and we're going to begin again in verse 1 and read through 11.
Yes.
Here we go. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you.
Yeah, this is great.
It is.
Romans 8:5. For they are according to the flesh, mind the things of the flesh, and they who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Can you explain that a little bit more, Mark?
Well, I think that it's talking about I want to live according to the way I want to live. That's in the flesh. It's not talking about our skin and bones, right?
Right.
It's talking about the fleshly ways that I have,
the
my carnal
ways.
Nature. Yeah. What I was born into sin.
Yes.
So I need a savior. I need someone that can take me from that condition and make me spiritually minded, that I can think about spiritual things like the fruits of the Spirit that you mentioned
right.
a bit ago.
And it really goes about to how I live my life, how I treat others, the words that come out of my mouth, the things that I think about, my desire to serve God and to spread the gospel,
Amen.
To share with others what I've experienced.
Yeah. If we look at those fruits of the Spirit, and if you really take time to analyze them in Galatians 5:22-23,
right.
the first one is love. We can't do the rest of them if we don't have love.
Right.
I mean, and this is what the love that God had for us in sending his son to bring us out of this condition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God doesn't ask anything of us that he wouldn't himself do.
It's really the love of God when we realize that in our hearts, that no matter what I've done in my life, God sent his son to die and pay the penalty for that sin.
Yes.
And not only that, but also to live in my heart to give me victory over that sin.
That's the point of this.
This is the love of God. This is what stimulates a change in our mind and our hearts. This is what stimulates the desire to be like Christ.
Right. Not to continue to live in the ways that we've lived before we knew Christ.
Right.
And, you know, people might say, well, I'm a good person. You know, I do good things. But there is a difference in even our thought process.
Yes.
When Christ dwells in us. The way we analyze things, the way we view things. Do I still think things I shouldn't think? Unfortunately, I do. But this is why Christ came, is to help me to be able to overcome, not live in that way, right. and continue to ask for forgiveness.
But now we have a knowledge of the Son of God.
Amen.
We have a knowledge of his working in our hearts and minds. And when those things come into our minds, we can claim the power of
yes.
Christ to help us overcome. It may be a moment-by-moment thing that we need to do to overcome these influence of Satan, basically what it is.
Yeah.
The temptations of Satan.
So this makes it very clear in this text when it says in verse 8, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It's talking about our fleshly ways. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his.
So we have the Spirit of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ living in us.
Amen.
He's our mediator. He mediates the Father to us. He brings the Spirit of God to us because the Spirit of God dwells in him. He shares that Spirit with us.
So we use that word mediator, and I think for most people who are in the Christian world, they understand that. But how would you describe or explain a mediator today? How would you explain that, Ed?
When we look at Romans 5, it talks about when we were without strength, Christ died with us. It goes on in Romans 5:10 and says, when we were enemies.
Yes.
So there's a conflict between God and the human race because the human race doesn't want to be obedient to God. Sin is extremely offensive to God. It's so offensive that it required the life of the Son of God in order to provide salvation for us.
Yeah, it separates us from God.
And so now Jesus is that mediator between God and us.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the ways of heaven. He knows the language of heaven.
Mm.
But he also has an experience of humanity on this earth. And so now he can mediate back and forth. He can bring God to us and give us understanding of who God is and mm-hmm. his requirements and how to attain those things, as well as share with the Father the experience and the difficulties and the struggles we have in this human life
mm.
and how difficult it is to overcome those things because of the devil being a roaring lion seeking to devour people.
I love the way you explain that, just using the Bible, because, you know, if we think about this, Jesus has experienced something that the Father hasn't.
Correct.
Right? So, you know, we say God knows all things. Well, God's never been a man. The Father has never been a human,
right?
But the Son of God has been a man.
Right.
And it says the man, Jesus Christ, is the mediator. He's still a man, yet he's divine somehow.
Right.
So this is a beautiful thing that because he's both the Son of God, he's the divine Son of God, and he's human, what better go-between do we have? There's none.
It really solves two problems here with Christ being the mediator. One is receiving the power of God that gives us power to overcome sin and lives through his Son, Jesus Christ, and explain to us the ways of heaven. You know, sometimes we look at the law of God as rules, but they're actually for our benefit.
Mm.
It's the love of God directing us how to live our lives for our betterment, for our enjoyment, for our salvation.
Right.
And yet we have this problem of this life that we live on this earth, and now Christ can explain those difficulties to his Father because he experienced that himself. And he can better relate the condition that we are in to his Father.
You know, in the Old Testament, there was an account where God had pretty much had enough of the Israelites, and he was really frustrated. And Moses comes to him and says, you know, if it's instead of taking their lives, blot me out of the book of life.
Yeah.
So he was showing, in essence, what the Son of God was willing to do for us.
Right.
And, you know, think about that, friends. Not only the love of God in allowing his Son to do this, but the fact that Jesus willingly did it.
Yes.
And there's no greater love than this. Ed, you have two sons.
Yeah.
I don't have children. And I've tried to imagine what would that be like. I can't even imagine it.
You know, you want the best for your children. You don't want them to suffer and experience the difficulties of life, but it's oftentimes a fact of life.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes all you can do is pray for your children.
Mm.
That, you know, God will guide them in lives, that will watch over and protect them, and to help them experience the salvation of Christ, understand the gospel, let it have an effect on their life.
Yeah. And I just, you know, I talk about this pretty often because for people who don't believe, I just want them to think about, you know, especially if they have children, nobody wants harm to their children. But God loves us that much.
You know, there was no guarantee that this was going to be successful. There was a risk of the eternal loss of Jesus Christ, the Son of God,
yes,
from the Father.
It surely was. And I don't think that we think about that often enough. I don't think, you know, I'd never really thought about that for most of my life. But yeah, there was definitely a risk because if Jesus had failed, then I believe the universe would cease to exist.
But here we see the faith of Jesus. The Bible talks about the faith of Jesus. That's what enabled him to be successful. His faith was in his Father.
Amen.
His trust was in his Father. He did the will. He came to do the will of his Father. He spoke the words that his Father gave him to speak. He performed the works that his Father gave him to do through the power of the Spirit of God living in him.
And Ed, this goes back to that verse that you read several verses earlier, and it was in Philippians, where it talks about having the faith of Jesus.
Yes.
This is why it's so important for us to have faith like he did.
Yes.
And we have to have faith in Christ, but we need the faith of Christ. That's what brings us through,
right,
is having his faith.
You know, now is the time to investigate that. Now is the time to study God's word. Now is the time to pray to God through his Son, Jesus Christ, to ask for these things in your life. Don't wait.
Mm.
You can't become a nuclear scientist without going through grade school,
right,
learning the basics, learning math, learning language skills to communicate. It's the same with studying God's Word.
Mm.
Don't expect to be able to understand it at the last minute.
Right.
Now's the time of salvation. Now's the time to come to God. Now's the time to pour your heart out to him. Just talk to him like a friend. Tell him your concerns. Tell him your joys. Tell him your doubts, your questions.
Yeah. So, Ed, I had somebody say to me one time, I want to have faith, but I don't know how. What do you recommend?
There is a account in the Bible where a man brought his child to Jesus. He was sick and dying. And Jesus told him, if you believe, then your son will be healed. This man says, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. If you lack faith, pray to God to give you the measure of faith. We'll talk about here in a few chapters in Romans.
Yeah, that was John. I looked that up while you were talking. John chapter 4. Is where that account is. If this is amazing, because I'll just read this.
Yes,
if that's
please
okay.
Do.
John chapter 4, beginning in verse 46, it says, so Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down to heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. That's not the account, is it? I think this is a different...
Yeah.
The
account of the woman who touched Christ's garments in that story there.
Yes, and the thing was, let's see, then he inquired them, they got better, and they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Yeah, so this is interesting to me, because I'm looking at this account, let's see, maybe I have to back up a little bit. John chapter 4...
Mark 9,
okay,
verses
so
23 and 25.
This is the thing with the Gospels. There's so many things that are repeated.
This is where Google comes in.
That's what I had used, and I went to the wrong place. Mark 9?
Yeah, verse 23.
Okay, I'm sorry about that, friends, but hey, at least we read a little more of the Gospels. Right?
Well, this is how we study the Bible. You don't always know where everything is.
We don't. We don't know. So, did you want to read this, or you want me to read it?
I don't have it, actually.
Oh, Mark chapter 9, yeah. What verse?
23.
Verse 23. Okay. So, I'm going to back up just a little bit for context. Let's see, where do I want to start? So, there were some scribes and Pharisees around here, and I'm just going to start in verse 14. It's
okay.
A little bit of reading. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, scribes disputing with him. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples and that they should cast it out, but they could not." Hmm. That's interesting, isn't it? He answered, that's Jesus answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him and fell to the ground. And he fell to the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said, If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.
Amen.
That's amazing. Immediately, it says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out and convulsed him greatly and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting."
So if you don't know, if you believe,
you can ask.
Ask for faith. That's, ask for belief. Ask for proof and understanding of God's word. Ask that God will show you how he is working in your life.
Yeah, verse 24, Ed, it says, "Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.'"
Right.
It's kind of like, well, I kind of believe, but there's still doubts.
Right.
There's still questions in my mind. There's always going to be questions in our mind about certain things that we read in the Bible.
Right.
So we have to have faith that it's right.
In our ministry right now, there is someone who has been making a prayer request for a relative of this person, because this person will read the Bible but doesn't have belief, has a lot of doubts. And so this person has been asking for prayer that this relative of theirs will develop faith, will have understanding of the Bible and belief in God's word that is true, and that it will affect their lives.
Yes. And we need to pray those prayers. We need to pray those things. And friends, this is the thing. Some of you may be listening and say, I want more faith. Ask for it.
Yes.
Pray about it.
Right.
And this is how real Paul is in this account that we're reading in Romans 8.
Yes.
He's real about, look, I have these weaknesses, I have these problems, and I want to overcome them.
Right.
And so I have prayed and I've asked God to help me with things that I didn't know if he would or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I was honest. I've said, "Father, I can't do this. You have to do it."
Right.
I've prayed that prayer.
Right.
I can't. You have to.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's a promise God gives us.
Right.
That he will help us in those times.
And we need to understand that it's not through our power that we can overcome things in our life and change our lives. It's through the power of a living Christ.
Mm.
And to recognize that and to believe that, that's when your life starts to change.
Absolutely. It does. Yeah. It really does. And, you know, again, we think about the things that the life that we live, we might be comfortable. We might like some of the things that we have in our life that we know are contrary to God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a difficult prayer to pray, especially if you enjoy doing a particular thing. Mm-hmm. But ask him to help you to overcome it. Right. He will fill that with something else.
Right.
Whatever it is, if you think you enjoy what you enjoy now that you know is wrong, the rewards are much greater for doing the will of God. And I'm not talking about the ultimate reward of eternal life.
Right.
He will make it up to you now.
Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly.
Amen.
And that includes the life we live on this earth.
You know, and just, I know we need to get back to Romans, but it's amazing. My Bible, the air conditioning is blowing, and uh-huh. I blew this page. This is the page that I read years ago. I woke up in the middle of the night, and this is what we're talking about.
Right.
And so we were in the book of Mark just a moment ago. This is Mark chapter 10. And Peter, well, let me just read this. Peter began to say, Lord, wait a minute, let me back up. They were astonished. This was after he had healed that boy, okay. Right? Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, with God all things are possible. So this is actually a chapter or so away. This is Mark chapter 10. Sorry, I'm just kind of scanning it and trying to talk at the same time. Here's what it says. Verse 27, Mark 10:27. Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Because he was talking about it's easier to go for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, right, than for a rich man to be saved. Well, we know, I believe rich men are going to be saved based on Jesus' own words, right? And so it says here, then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left brother house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold. It doesn't say in the future. It says now in this time, 100-fold now, it says in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, right? Mm-hmm. And in the age to come, eternal life. So this is a promise from Jesus himself that your life can be made better now and in the future, eternal life.
Amen.
It's an amazing thing. And Ed, I'm a testament of that because when I read this text, this was when I had that moment where I had to come to the Father and say, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. I can't do it on my own. It was amazing that my Bible just flipped over to that.
You know, I don't think it matters your background, whether you have had no religious upbringing or whether you've had a lot of religious upbringing. We all have things in our lives that we can't overcome by ourselves. And we need to come to Christ. We need to experience the power of God through him to overcome these things. And that's how it's accomplished. It's not through our own efforts. We need to rely on the Son of God.
You know, I think about Paul and when he was Saul, right?
Yeah.
That, you know, there he was. He was a man that was dragging people out of the synagogues and out of their homes and beating them because certain people believed in Jesus.
Right.
And now, as we're reading here, now he's left that lifestyle. And it was all because he met Jesus on the road.
You know, he had one belief prior to meeting Jesus in what he thought he was a good person doing the right things.
He did.
But then he met Jesus, and he was changed. And now he is doing those things, preaching those things, telling people about Jesus, the Son of God, things he didn't believe in before.
Right.
That's how drastic a change can occur in your life when you meet Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and you know, I have a Bible study with a young lady, and it's really good. And one of the things that she has observed, and she said to me a long time ago, is it seems like a lot of Christians say one thing, but they live another way. Mm. And this is one of the things that we were talking about. What about the change? You've talked about that. It can't just be lip service.
Right.
You know, I can stand here and preach to people all day long, but if my lifestyle shows something different, people will see right through that immediately.
Well, then it's not real then either.
It's not real. So, to me, I almost feel the necessity sometimes, and I apologized to her for that. I said, I'm sorry that we as people have marred true Christianity,
right. What
Christ really came to deal with, because so many, and I think that happens in just about every faith, but Christianity seems to be the one that does it the most. They do it the most, and, we're part of Christianity.
Right.
So, kind of like when Daniel owned the sins of Israel,
right. We
have to own that, this is part of Christianity, and that's the way the devil wants it. But Christ will help us to overcome that.
Well, Jesus came to save Christians as well as non-Christians.
That's exactly right. He came to save the world,
yes.
Right? Everyone. So, and it doesn't mean that everyone will be saved.
Right.
Your choice is what matters.
Right.
You're going to make the choice. So I'm sorry we took so much time with that. But
no, that's fine.
This is, this is really the reality of what Paul recognized.
Right.
And he realizes that people need to hear this message.
Yeah, he talks about people preaching different gospel or different Jesus than what he's preaching.
That's right.
But Paul, you've got to remember, Paul received this from Jesus Christ himself, his gospel that he preaches, not consulting any human being, but started preaching what Christ told him to preach right away.
I don't know that we've ever read that.
In Galatians chapter 1.
What you just mentioned?
Yes. Starting, let me just read this from the Modern King James Version.
Okay.
Starting in verse 11. And brothers, I made known to you the gospel which was preached by me, that it is not according to man. For I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, except by a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you heard my manner of life when I was in Judaism, that I persecuted the church of God with surpassing zeal and ravaged it. And I progressed in Judaism beyond many contemporaries in my race, being much more of a zealot of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and having called me by his grace, to reveal his Son to me, so that I might preach him among the nations, immediately I did not confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned unto Damascus. And he tells this history. He didn't go to Jerusalem for 3 years after his interaction with Christ to prove that what he taught was from Jesus himself. It wasn't man's invention. Mm. It wasn't his own thoughts. It was the gospel of the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
It shows that it takes time.
Yeah.
It doesn't just happen overnight. And here Paul is in Romans. He's writing this letter, and he's still struggling with certain things.
Mm-hmm.
There are things of the flesh that still annoy him, right? And still, he's still dealing with.
But he understands the solution to the problem. He understands the hope that he has and what he is sharing with us, hope in the Son of God.
And I think it's very important that the listener understand. If you're listening and you're hearing this study and you're saying in your mind or maybe even out loud, you might be saying, what I have done is too bad.
Right.
I can't be forgiven for whatever it is. Look, sin is sin.
Right.
We have a tendency as human beings to categorize it. Oh. Somebody might say, well, stealing is bad. Or lying is bad, but stealing is worse. Stealing is bad, but committing adultery is worse. Committing adultery is bad, but murder is worse. I mean, we pick and choose, but all of those will keep us out of the kingdom.
Right.
Right?
I think the Bible says if you broken one of God's commandments, you've broken them all.
That's in James. Yeah. And so here we have this man, Paul, who is writing this book, and he's showing us actually what we need and how we can get there. And yet, if you think that what I have done in your mind, well, whatever, what this is that I've done is much worse. Paul was a murderer. He was somebody who would kill Christians. And what happened? He's a converted man.
Right.
He was born again.
Yes.
You can have this experience.
You are the reason Jesus came to this earth to die for you. He didn't come to die for someone who's righteous.
Right.
He came to die for sinners, of whom Paul says he was chief.
He did say that.
Yes.
That's right. So, you know, if you take nothing else from this program, know that wherever you are in your walk, if you're still breathing in and out and you can still make a choice, you can make a choice right now,
right
at this moment.
Just humbly pray to God, you know, asking for forgiveness of your sins, asking for the Spirit of Christ into your heart to help you with the difficulties of life, and He will do it.
You know, Ed, it might not be a bad idea just because we don't know who listens. We know some people that listen, but we don't know how many people are listening that might be at that pivotal moment.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should just pause and pray for them right now.
All right.
Would you do that, please?
Sure. Father in heaven, as we're learning the truth of the Word, the Bible, and of the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, please help us to open our hearts and minds to this great gift of love that you've given us, that no matter where we're at in our lives, that we can have hope in our lives because of what you've done through your Son, Jesus Christ. That Jesus died on the cross, his blood was shed for all my sins, no matter what it is, and that I can have salvation not only through his death, but now that you've sent the Spirit of Christ into my heart, I can have salvation in the life that I'm living now because of this love that you have for us. So, Father, help me to accept that in my life. Help me to want that in my life. Help me to understand this through the reading of your Word. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So, thank you for that, Ed. And friends, this is the prayer you can pray.
Yes.
You can ask this very thing. He is the hearer of prayers, our Heavenly Father is.
No matter your condition at this very moment, no matter what you've done in your life, you can find hope and peace through the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
Mm. So, yeah, and please, don't focus so much on what you have done, but focus on what Christ has done for you and what he will do for you.
Right.
And this will help you, you know, as you read through the Bible and you see these accounts and you see, you know, you will be convicted if you ask Christ to come into your heart, he will help you with it.
Right. And remember, it's he that empowers you to overcome things in your life.
That's right.
It's victory through Christ, nothing that I can do with myself.
Hmm. So, Ed, you know, this is all part of the Romans message. This is all part of what Paul's talking about. I can't remember. I think we read through verse 11 of chapter 8. We have a few more minutes. What did you want to do here?
Yeah, I want to just concentrate just a little bit on the last few verses that you read. Could you read verses 8 through 11 again?
Yes. Romans, that was 8, verse 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you.
So in verse 8, we know that the way we live our lives now, the living life in the flesh, in the sinful world, we can't please God. But we're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We receive the Spirit of God through Christ. We have to have the Spirit of Christ. He is the mediator of God. And if Christ is in you, indeed the body is dead because of sin. We're dead to sin, but made alive in the Spirit because of the righteousness of Christ. This can only happen through the Son of God.
Mm. That's it.
So if the Spirit of the one who raised up Jesus from the dead, it's his Father that raised Christ up from the dead.
It is.
The Spirit of God. He who raised up Christ from the dead will also make your mortal bodies alive by his Spirit who dwells in you. So we see here that is the Father and the Son working together in our mm-hmm. lives to give us eternal life and to give us life more abundantly in the life we live today.
Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you this, you know, a lot of people might listen and they might say, well, you know, being a Christian is restrictive. No, it's not. It frees you from yes. the bondage that we don't realize we're in
right.
when we're living in the flesh. But once yeah. we're living in the Spirit, according to the Spirit, we recognize and we look back and say, how did I ever do those things? Whatever caused me to do those things?
Can I read about being set free just in a minute?
Yeah, we have about 1 minute.
All right. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Mm.
And the Jews answered him back, said, we're our Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to anyone. How do you say, make us free? And Jesus answered them and said, truly I say unto you, whoever practices sin is the slave of sin. And the slave does not abide in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.
Mm, amen. And that's so true.
Yeah.
And friends, I hope you get to experience that. I hope you will take the time to do a self-examination.
Yes.
And come to Christ and ask
yes.
him into your heart.
Yes.
And, you know, we're out of time, so we have to close with prayer. So
right.
Let's bow our heads and pray together. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for this beautiful message from your word, the Bible. And we just ask that hearts will be compelled to want to do your will, Father. I just ask that people will be motivated to want to follow Christ and just be led into eternity by the Spirit of your Son dwelling in their hearts. So please, Father, be with us until we come together again. We're grateful for everything you do for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, thank you again for another wonderful study.
That's great.
We'll pick this up again next week. And friends, we hope to see you next week right here, 7 p.m., New Visions Radio, next Sunday. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.